Hello, it's Monday, September 5th, and you are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I'm your host, Chris, and this is show number 21. Check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, podcast feeds, forums, and all that other stuff. If you want to email us, comments, questions, feedback, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. I've noticed a lot of you guys are using the contact link on the main page, and it's actually going to webmaster@dreamstation.cc. Then he has to forward it to me, and it's a little bit more of a hassle, so videogameshow@dreamstation.cc, and it makes life easier for everyone. The folks we have with us today here, we have Phil.
Hello, my hiatus has ended.
We have Keith.
Greetings.
And we have Bob. People must have just
eaten. I'm a murloc this week.
I was going to say.
Bob the murloc.
Let's face it, guys, this week was a pretty slow news week. What do we have on the show this week? Well, folks, we have new at dreamstation.cc, Gabe Newell bashes the next-gen systems, Fact or Crap, a review for the GameCube version of Mario Superstar Baseball, charging money for PSP downloads, Nintendogs crushes in retail, World of Warcraft crushes in retail, Games in the Law, the form question, and our mailbag. Moving into housekeeping here.
Next topic.
Oh, happy Labor Day, everybody. Does anyone actually know what Labor Day is for?
I can Google it.
Back many years ago, when mankind was just on the northern continent, the polar bears were running rampant.
It was a
celebration. It was a celebration of the rising and defeating of the polar bears and their midget enslavers who would sack the villages and raid at night, killing many.
It was at least three. It was quite a labor. See, there you go. See, that's the tie.
You were close. I guess Chicago had some riots, and in 1886, Grover Cleveland wanted a May 1st holiday to commemorate the riots where the midgets actually were overthrown by the polar bears. And
no, the midgets enslaved the polar bears and used them, much like a goblin rides a warg, a midget rides a polar bear into combat with others.
Labor Day today is generally regarded as a day of rest, and political demonstrations are very rare. I haven't seen any polar bears with signs the last couple years, so that's what Labor Day is about.
I like my answer better.
PodcastAlley.com and Odeo.com. Odeo is another place where you can subscribe. Podcast Alley is where you can vote if you choose. Those places would be great. There's the timer.
Oh, come in and pull yourself up a chair.
Hurricane Katrina. Bungie is selling t-shirts, and Sony Online Entertainment is, they put a /donate option in their game into EverQuest. The only good thing really is that it's put all the stuff in perspective with Bumblefoot and everybody else. The focus has really been on video games and how horrible they are the last couple months, so now they have, you know, actual real issues to deal with.
Ends up natural disasters are worse.
If you want to donate, I will have a link in the show notes. You could donate to the Red Cross. It would probably be the most general place to donate. There's a whole bunch of different places you can give money to. Everybody seems to be giving to the Red Cross, so we'll have the link up there if you want to do it. And our sympathy goes out to everybody that was caught up in the whole Louisiana thing.
Next topic.
New at DreamStation.cc. We have some reviews up. The PC version of GTR FIA GT Racing. B-I-N-G-O.
A lot of I was going to say. Bingo.
GoldenEye review for the Nintendo DS. The game is called Obscure for PlayStation 2. We have a review of that. I've only gotten like two or three contest entries for my Space Pirates DVD thing. Come on, guys. I'm going to throw in a Mortal Kombat TV plug-and-play game and a crazy secret prize that is Nintendo-related for the winner of the Space Pirates DVD contest. Again, Space Pirates is probably the worst game I've ever played. Your job is to write in and tell us how you would destroy the game in the most outrageous fashion that you can still actually pull off. It has to actually be able to be done. Send us that, and then we will rate them, and the winner will get the Mortal Kombat thing, the secret crazy prize, and the actual Space Pirates of DVD. Then they have to destroy it and send us proof. Contest for Death Junior Prize Pack for the PlayStation Portable. On our main website, on the left-hand side, kind of down-ish, the winner gets a Death Junior PlayStation Portable game, a Death Junior poster, two Death Junior bookmarks, whatever that means, a Death Junior comic book.
I'm assuming it's something you put in a book to mark its place when reading.
Reading? What is this? Reading?
It's to use in your comic books, because you get a Death Junior comic book.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. I'm so hardcore, the only comic book I read is the City of Heroes one.
Yeah. Am I the only one that honestly reads?
No, I have.
Okay.
I mean, no, I got Robert Louis Stevenson over here, Jack London, plenty of Edgar Allan Poe for the ton of that. The reading.
Anyway, so again, we have a contest for that. The contest ends September 10th, so join up soon.
Next topic.
Gabe Newell bashes the next-gen systems. Gabe Newell is the CEO or head or whatever of Valve. Valve makes like Half-Life, Counter-Strike, stuff like that. Maybe you've heard of them. Gabe is mad that the next-gen consoles cost a lot more to develop, there's a lot less content, and there are space issues, particularly on the Xbox 360's media, because it's not super high def, so there's less material that you can fit on the disc. I think we've talked about this a little bit before. He also said that Windows Vista does not help game developers at all. It's added a whole bunch of new features, none of which he or any other developers care about. He bashed very hard the Xbox 360's lack of a hard drive as a standard. I think I've already kind of gotten that one on the books. Rant kind of went over well from what I'm getting. So Gabe also bashed Sony more hard than Microsoft, saying that basically you're writing code that runs on a PlayStation 3. PlayStation 3 uses 7 different cores. That code isn't going to run anywhere else. By writing the code on it, you have to optimize it. Bob's kind of talked about this one. I don't remember if it actually got on a show before, but by writing code for the PlayStation 3, you have to do a lot more work to get it to run on the PS3. He's accusing Sony of starving out the competition with the porting issues. Basically, they write games and they go out on all the different consoles and PC. It's going to be a big, big pain in the rear end because PlayStation 3's architecture is so different now. Isn't everybody glad that next gen is finally coming and all these people are just bashing it and saying that it sucks?
Great. Everybody got their pre-order for the $2,000 Xbox, right?
Yeah, I was really bitter that I only got one because that's all they limited me to.
Wouldn't want to get anything else, down payment on a car or something.
Phil was talking to me right before
we chunk in my student loans.
Before we did the show, and he was saying the same thing. A couple people have said the same thing to me, like, oh, I'm just going to pick up an Xbox. I mean, those are only going to be $300, right? And I just said no, and then they get all depressed, and I say, just buy a new computer.
Yeah. I'd like to retract my statement about the death of PC games, because it looks like the consoles are digging their own grave. PC games are going to be on the rise, because it's the only thing you can upgrade and something that's worth spending $1,000 on.
I was talking to Chris about an hour before we started recording. I was really excited with the thought of being one of the first people to buy an Xbox 360 or that other unnamed next-gen console that nobody wants to buy now. The fact that the prices are going through the roof, like, I really don't even want to bother anymore.
You know, but again, there will be the people that are going to run out there and wait in lines overnight and buy it and everything else, which is sad. Cue lamb sound.
I will be the shepherd leading the flock to the glory of next-gen gaming. Yeah, but what they don't know is that I'm not really leading them to next-gen glory. We're going to the slaughterhouse. I'm having me some lamb chops tomorrow. Moving on.
I was just laughing at the fact that no one laughed.
Cricket's going.
That's pretty good.
Well, thank you.
Next topic.
Time again for Fact or Crap, one of our most popular segments.
Yeah, we need very some kind of theme music for that. I'll work on it.
Cool.
Not that. But yeah, we do need something.
I'm going to read off three things. We're going to switch it up a little bit this week. One of them is real. Two of them are false.
Wait. No, my brain.
Yeah, we're going against the grain. Number one, World of Warcraft is going to be released on the Xbox 360 late 2006. Number two, the creative Zen Neon MP3 players, a whole bunch of them were released, and they had a Windows virus on them. Number three, the United States Army is actually going after EA because the Battlefield 2 expansion is named Special Forces, and so is the upcoming America's Army expansion called Special Forces. So,
wow.
One of these is true. One of these
Go over them one more time right quick.
World of Warcraft on the Xbox 360, the creative Zen Neon released with worms on it, and number three, the United States Army suing EA because of the Special Forces names.
Here's my reasoning. Number three is false because I don't know how many games have been called Special Forces, and I really don't think they have any legal basis for that. Number one is probably false because the last thing World of Warcraft needs is more people playing it. So I will say the second one is true. There. Thank you. My name is Bob. Good night.
Okay. Who wants to step up next?
See, I want to say two as well.
But you can't.
But I can't.
You can't.
So I'm going to say number
one. Put all your
one.
Eggs in the same basket.
No, I want to say number two, which should just also automatically tell Bob that he's wrong, because that's what my gut's telling me to say. Hey, someone is saying number one.
All right, Keith is saying World of Warcraft. Bob is saying the Creative Zen MP3 player, and Phil is saying...
We go with World of Warcraft. Didn't Final Fantasy go to Xbox?
Final Fantasy will be going to Xbox 360, yes. So you're saying World of Warcraft will be released on the Xbox 360 2006?
Yes, based on the fact that Final Fantasy will probably be on Xbox eventually.
Okay, all of the votes are in. The correct answer, the one that is true, is that the 5GB Creative Zen Neon MP3 player were released with a Windows worm or virus on it.
See, I knew it!
Yeah, they released a whole bunch of them, and then they just basically said, don't click on this one file because it's a virus. Just go ahead and delete it, and everything's cool. There's the timer. The ones that were false are that World of Warcraft to be released on the Xbox 360 in 2006. Blizzard's official stance on it is, sure, basically they want to do it. There are no short-term plans to do it. They're also busy with the expansion pack, of course. Gotta tap that vein while there's still blood coming out of it. They don't have a date yet, but you and I all know that, yeah, it's coming. I'm sure they'll find a way to put it out as a Game Boy game and a DS game and a PSP game and everything else, too.
It will be the only MMO now that City of Heroes has killed itself.
And lastly, the United States Army is not suing EA. Yes, they're both called Special Forces. Big whoop. I just threw into GameRankings.com, and I'm looking at like 15 to 20 games are called Special Forces. Comes from NOA Slow, so thank you, NOA Slow. Factor Crap has been brought to you by the letter P.
It's brought to you by the number 648 and the letter Q.
Next topic.
I went over the last week, and I purchased Mario Superstar Baseball for the GameCube.
Yes,
Bob
will.
Is muttering. Come on. Over half of the Mario games you've enjoyed.
I'm, like, upset with myself that I have enjoyed the Mario games. I just am. They just seem rather lame, and every single one of them's like, God, this is going to suck. Why have we been playing this for 3 hours and I'm not bored yet?
You guys hadn't had the chance to swing over and play the game, so I'm going to do the review mostly from the single player, although I did play multiplayer a little bit with my wife. It's very much old school baseball in the light of Baseball Stars, you know, RBI, Bases Loaded, all those NES and SNES games. It's kind of a return to that. The controls.
Baseball Stars.
Everybody liked Baseball Stars. If you haven't played Baseball Stars,
yeah,
it's actually funny that you should mention that, mainly because I sent them an email. Them being SNK, I sent them an email and I said, hey, we really need to redo Baseball Stars. There was a really good game, and there is no marketplace right now for fictitious teams with a more arcadey kind of style, a little bit over the top. I got a response back from them. Yes, we totally agree with you, but there are absolutely no plans at this time. We can't announce anything else. And then that was the end of it, so we'll see. Hopefully they'll do it. I really doubt they will. If you've never played Baseball Star, go visit Blackbeard. I hear that there's ROMs floating around on their internets. Play it. Very, very good. There's a whole bunch of different characters in Mario Superstar Baseball. You got all the little shy guys that Keith likes with the little hockey masks. There's the Princess, Donkey Kong, Diddy Kong. Each of them has different categorizations. Some are faster, some are balanced, some are power, etc. You have different missions for each character, and as you complete these missions, they come up randomly during the games. The missions will be like, you know, get a hit at this at bat. If you get a hit, you clear one of your little objectives. Once you clear all of your objectives, your character gets a little bit better. You pick your team in an exhibition. You can pick between anybody. There's also multiplayer modes and mini games and a single player kind of challenge, which of course, in typical Mario game fashion, is annoying because that's where you have to go to start to unlock more than just the one default part. So the single player game gets very old very quick. You got to beat it basically 3 times to get all the unlockables. And as you beat other teams, you can get players from their teams if you've impressed them by playing good on some of those missions. The regular baseball game is 2 players. The multiplayer stuff for like 4 players is the mini games and the little 4-player baseball. Both of those modes for 4 players seem to be like they would be really, really fun in a big group setting. Basically, whoever catches the ball gets to bat next. As you bat, you get different points for doing different things, getting home runs or getting first, second base, whatever. The controls, as I said, are very, very easy. You could really play the game with just 1 or 2 buttons. They also have kind of baseball simulator super power-ups that if you have, you know, so many guys based on chemistry, your team gets different power-ups. The problem with this game, it was really, really fun. It's really, really good. There aren't any season modes. There's not really any stats more than just one game. It'll tell you for your one game what your average was and your hits and your doubles and how many innings they pitched. But there's no season. There's no editing of the players. You can't really make your own guys. Believe it or not, it's not as deep as Baseball Stars was. The other downside is the voices and the sounds are annoying, annoying, annoying. All the little people grunt and make little noises, which is, you know, kind of cool at first. But then you're hearing this little annoying voice say, strike, every single time. And it just gets old. If I was going to give it a rating out of 10, just for single player, I would probably give it a 6 because it's not very deep. If you got some people over, 2 to 4 people, people, I would bump it up to about an 8, maybe an 8.5. I'm glad I bought it. It's going to be another one of the Mario games that I play multiplayer. I'm not going to play it much single player other than to get the unlockables. It's caused me to start playing Baseball Stars for my NES emulator quite a bit. When I'm not playing Diablo the last few days, I've been playing Baseball Stars. Okay, now that I've bored you all with my review.
Next topic.
Charging money for PSP downloads. In an interview with Edge Magazine, Phil Harrison, you might remember him from last week from saying that the Nintendo DS was a pile of junk. He's the VP over there at Sony. He said that in 2006, Sony plans to move to a pay-to-download model for content for the PSP.
Of course they do. Why wouldn't they?
Up until now, you've gotten things such as Wipeout tracks and little additional bonus features for Wipeout. You get all your firmware stuff free. Games can download content, kind of like Xbox Live. Now, I'm not saying that the firmware is going to be pay-to-download. I would really doubt that it's going to be, because Sony wants you to download that stuff so you can actually have fun and use emulation on your PSP. This is just another one of the greedy, money-hungry decisions that Sony is making.
What, the fact that they still have no games?
Still not very many games that are any good. My screen is quite dusty because I haven't been using it.
Because they were promoting, what are they, UMD discs?
Yes.
Why would you want to play video games on a handheld video game system?
Why would you eat your own fog?
Speaking of the UMDs real quick, Sony just announced this past week that 17.2 million UMD discs have been shipped.
So according, have been sold? Like 10,
exactly. According to officials, 9 million were games, the other 8 million were movies and music videos. So basically, just under half were non-games. So Keith hit it pretty good. Yes, thank you. They expect that more than 60% of UMD sales in the future will be non-game. They predicted 130 million UMD sales for 2008. So they're basically coming out and admitting, look, there's going to be about 60% non-games, 40% games. Unless you enjoy watching movies and stuff on it, it was a big waste of money.
Don't worry, I'm sure they got their Xboxes pre-ordered.
Since we're all rich now, it doesn't matter anymore, right? I've said it before, I own a PSP, and honestly, I'm not very happy with the fact that I've purchased it. I know it just came out overseas.
Got your Xbox pre-ordered.
No, actually, I don't. I have the money saved. I didn't pre-order it.
Oh, that's right. You said you're saving it. That's right.
PSP just came out overseas, sold a whole bunch over there in Britain. I'm sorry to hear that, guys. All right, moving on. Unless anybody has anything else?
No. Sorry, it was nothing. It was stupid.
Well, thank you for pre-screening it then.
Yeah, I did. I was going to say that. I was like, yeah, anyway. Go ahead, move on.
Next topic.
Nintendogs crushes in retail. We make fun of Nintendogs just about every show now. Huge retail
success.
This one
will be no exception. Continue.
Really, really true. 250,000 units sold the first week of sales. A quarter of a million units in 1 week of Nintendogs.
I will never be a successful video game developer, because you know what? The guy would have walked in and been like, I got this great idea for the DS. It's called Nintendogs. And I would have thrown a piece of paper in his head and told him to get the f*** out of my office.
I agree with
just
you.
Just saying.
Basically, people are buying DS units just so they can play Nintendog. Over in Japan, it's already sold over half a million. It's already sold over half a million copies, and like Bob was saying. Of course they are. It makes perfect sense. Our pal over at Sony there, Phil Harrison, again, last week he lambasted the Nintendo DS, saying it was a gimmick and the touchscreen is crap, and they're not even on the radar as far as competition. All of a sudden, I don't know what the change of heart was, but somebody smacked him around, and he's admitted that Nintendogs is absolutely fantastic. That's a quote. So he owns a DS, apparently, and he beats his Nintendog nightly. I don't know what you actually do with your Nintendog. You take it for walks.
Tony, unless there's Nintendog pit fighting, I really have no interest in that game whatsoever. Like, raise your dog to be a champion. That's what I want. I want levels and stats and spike collars and some type of, yeah, like, get their teeth ripped out and you replace them with stainless steel or something. I don't know, something.
Nope.
Apparently you just pet them, though.
You brush their hair in the correct manner. You soap them up and give them baths. You throw frisbees. You take them for walks.
I've been out of the loop on this one for a while, so this game sounds like it's kind of like that game where you beat the cow and you feed the cow crap and...
Black and white!
That's
another pile of crap. Okay.
It's not even that deep. It's more like, remember those little Tamagotchis that came on the keychains?
Oh, for sake.
Monster Rancher, Pokemon. I actually enjoyed these games. Not a big Nintendogs fan.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't take much to turn it into something that I'd actually want to play, but again, I'm not like the other 500,000 people who bought it, so apparently. Just the City of Heroes, my opinion means nothing, so go ahead.
People were asking me, where's our review of Nintendogs? I don't own a DS. I'm not going to buy a DS for Nintendogs.
You ain't getting enough review of Nintendogs to deal with it.
I'll tell you what, if you want, you can do up a little audio, 2-minute, decent quality review of Nintendogs. Email me, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. Don't send me the MP3 file. I have a Gmail account that you can do that on, and then we can get in touch. I'll listen to it. I'll pick the best one. We'll stick it up again. Like, you know, a couple, 2 minutes. You've heard our reviews. You know kind of how they are. Pretty general. Because we're missing it. We're missing something, apparently, or everyone else in the universe.
They don't even have to, like, have anything die. Just do, like, Monster Rancher and Pokemon where it gets knocked out.
No talking sense.
Dude, you're much better at sound effects than me.
You have been around too many farm animals, I think, there, buddy.
I guess so, huh?
It sounded like a sheep. Well, he has one hidden under his bed. Come here, Fluffy.
That's a little different.
Into the mic.
Bob changed his name from Zed a few years ago.
Next topic.
World of Warcraft crushes in retail. No, this is not new. They're up to over 1 million people in the United States and over 4 million worldwide, and they still have to launch in Taiwan later. So,
on the upside, we're about to be getting some good deaths in the news.
Sweet. The 5 or 6 people that have died playing it.
Just a small handful of deaths. It's well worth it. Blizzard is on the path to world domination with this one. I've admitted I like the game. It's a good game.
The only other video game developer besides EA. Go Blizzard.
Yeah, we're all pretty much Blizzard fans. I'm not a huge RTS guy, but I do like regular old Warcraft, Warcraft 2, Warcraft 3. We just got out of World of Warcraft because there was 4 million other people playing it, and we don't like other people.
We're about antisocial as they come.
In a little bit of an update to the whole China having a 3-hour limit on the MMOs, China is having an online petition. So far, over 1,000 people have signed up to protest the 3-hour time limit. How many people are in China? Right. And then, well organized. Very well organized. Thank you, 0.04% of the population.
People, isn't that like the first floor of a small apartment building?
Yeah, that's one apartment. Chinese need to rally a little bit better.
They don't want to rally a little bit better. In order to rally against it, you have to be like, the government's wrong! Oh, God! Oh, them taking my campus! Those are
they
the
got it a little
baldiest MMOers in China right there. You know what? They don't have accounts anymore.
What's funny is they didn't use their real name either. They just used their online handles because they are kind of scared of the government. It's a little different over there in China, for those of you who don't know. You can't basically speak out openly against whatever you feel like speaking out against.
Remember that, Americans, the next time you decide to whine and complain about your lack of freedoms.
Next time voting day comes around and you're too busy to go vote, think of the Chinese and their pathetic rally to play MMOs for more than 3 hours.
Next topic.
Games and the law. Lexmark, they make printers and such things like that. I've never really owned a Lexmark printer. They had something in court a little while ago, you may have heard of it, where people were refilling. They sell these online things where you refill the printer cartridges for, you know, half the cost of their $30 printer cartridge. A lot of people are doing it because it just perfectly makes sense. Lexmark got ticked because they're not making the money from these resellers that are refilling these printer cartridges, and they put "for single use only" on the sides of the printer cartridge packaging. They said, you know, by opening this, it's almost like a end-user licensing agreement, like a EULA, when you get software and you have to say accept, accept in the beginning. By opening this package, you are agreeing that you will not refill this cartridge. The Ninth Circuit of the Supreme Court did a ruling this past week that says, yes, in fact, you are breaking contract and patent laws if you get one of these things refilled. Refillers are not allowed to sell these things online anymore. They're going after them, and Lexmark is basically one.
That's ridiculous. How long have they been doing that for, like, 5-10 years now?
They won. What's this got to do with video games? Well, the fear now is that people are going to start slapping these one-use labels all over the place. In a related note, speaking of Blizzard, they won in the Battle.net case where people had made an open source Battle.net where you didn't have to use their servers, you could do your own homebrew servers. The Eighth Circuit of Supreme Court this past week upheld the ruling that BNetD breaks the Millennium Copyright Act. It's in the EULA. You have to read these I agree screens now, especially after stuff like this with Lexmark. There was kind of a shakedown a couple years ago when people were putting spyware in and they would say in the user license, when you click agree, if you would have read it, you would have seen there's going to be spyware in this stuff. Anymore, you're going to really really have to pay attention, because who knows what you're going to be agreeing to. You can't reverse engineer the code. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't actually sell items. What game was it? It was an MMO that said basically all these items are our property. It is illegal to sell them in any auction sites. I think it might have been World of Warcraft.
That was Blizzard, yeah.
World of Warcraft or Final Fantasy?
That's our tip of the day. Pay attention to those I agree screens. Yes, I know they're long. Yes, I know they're boring. Skim them at least. Don't just agree to anything. In addition to that, I hope you guys did read. When you downloaded this podcast, we have already gotten all your credit card information, and we've gotten all your passwords for your computer. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Agreement. Did you read the agreement?
By playing the MP3 file.
I just love the fact that you can do that now. It's like, all right, here's what I did. I paid $60 for this MMO, okay? I already signed up for this contract to play per month, and I already paid another $13, and will pay another $13 a month to play this. But in order to use the thing that I paid all this money for, I have to agree to let you put spyware on my computer. Like, click this. And now it's like, okay, in order to use, I mean, it's breaking contract. You're agreeing to a contract when you open a package to get the thing out that you bought. I mean, you don't even want the packaging, and I'd rather not even have it on there to begin with. And now it's like, by opening this up and using this and getting something for your money, you're agreeing to a contract. It's like, dude, no, I'm ripping a piece of cardboard. Because if the contract's on the cardboard, and as soon as I rip it, well, no more contract.
I ripped the contract up.
Yeah, man, you could be living in China, or you could be a male praying mantis. We still got it better.
The chances of one of those are slightly higher than the other. I mean, what about kids, you know, between 13 and 18? I mean, they're not old enough to actually agree to a binding contract.
Exactly.
What are they doing in that situation?
It's get a six-year-old open up your Lexmark cartridges for you. Here, son, open this up. I can't really agree to this contract.
Actually, they usually cover that, too, by saying you assume all responsibility for blah, blah, blah. If a kid opens it, usually the parent is automatically responsible. So if you get a kid that you don't know, like little Jimmy from down the street, give him a quarter to open the box.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start throwing bricks at people. And by getting him hit in the head with this brick, you're agreeing to the contract to not sue for damages caused by bricks hitting you in the head. If you didn't want to agree to this contract, simply not get hit by the brick when I throw it at your head. There. I think it's a good gimmick. It'll work.
Next topic.
All right, moving on to the forum question last week, www.dreamstation.cc, our general forums there on the left-hand side, going to the general area. We put up a weekly poll. Last week's poll, how do you feel about politically backed games? We had mentioned things like America's Army or that Chinese Communist Youth League game. I just got an IM from some random person asking about the podcast, and I wanted to mention this, and I forgot about it. I'm getting quite a bit of email asking, where's the podcast? It's not up yet. What's going on? We record the podcasts most of the time on Monday nights. Monday night and Tuesday night, I edit them. Wednesday night around noon Eastern time, they go up online for download. That's our RSS feed. What?
You said Wednesday night around noon.
Wednesday afternoon, 12 and 1 o'clock Eastern. Our RSS feed is updated for the podcast subscription. For those of you guys that are on iTunes or Odeo or any of these other subscription plans, we don't have any control over when iTunes scans to see if there was an update to the file. It could be a couple hours even later than that. Be patient a little bit. We appreciate the fact that you guys really want to listen, but I mean, if the thing is 10 minutes late, I got like 3 IMs popping up, emails getting sent all over the place.
We're not professionals. We get no reimbursement for our efforts here. Sorry,
right.
We're doing our best.
I'm imagining the havoc that's going to happen.
My PayPal email account is...
I can imagine the havoc that's going to happen when in a couple weeks later this month, I'm going to be in Florida, so there won't be a podcast that week. So
we'll just do it.
Yeah, we'll do it. It'll be
that's
fine.
Cool with me. That's fine with me. We'll have to have our editor pay attention to it. So, yeah, sorry for the slight interruption. If we're late, we're sorry. So, jumping back to the forum question. How do you feel about politically backed games? 0% of the people love it. 5% of the people prefer it. 27% depends on the game's quality. If it's a good game, they don't mind it. 11 said if they agree with the ideology. So, if Republicans are buying the Republican-backed game, 11% of them say, yeah, that's cool. Almost 30%, 27, would rather not have it at all. And 32% absolutely hate it and don't want politically backed games on the shelves. Master Chief has said if a game is decent and it's not trying to change your views, then I have no problem with it being politically backed. It will be rare, though, because of the hot coffee incident. Garulis says if a game is sponsored by the government, it's obviously propaganda. I don't like those games, plus usually they're bad quality. I'll kind of disagree. I thought America's Army was pretty well done, all things considered. I haven't played too many other backed games because, as we'll get to in a minute, I don't like my games with a side of politics.
I don't know
if that really counted as politically charged, though. That was more, rather than, look, we should be fighting this war, this was more like, look, the military is cool. You should join it. See all the sweet things you get to do if you're in the military? It's awesome. Rather than, we need to be at war with Iraq right now. See from this game how evil the Iraqis are? See, that I think that was why we don't have such ill feelings towards America's army.
Zeph, I try not to pay attention to hidden messages or in-your-face propaganda. If I can start a game with a friend and blow him away in all sorts of ways, I don't really care which team, country, or character he is. It's all about the fun.
I have a question, though. How does he avoid something that's hidden? The silence is for the pondering.
Yes, sir, that is a valid point. It's a shame, however, that you eat your own farts. Yeah, so he's basically saying, I don't care what country he's on. I'm just going to kill him.
He's in my squad.
Sunfur66 says she spoke with her brother-in-law, who is currently based in upstate New York in the military. She asked him if he'd ever play the one, whatever it was called, supported by the Communist Youth League. He said, heck no. I asked why. Just because it's not American, I don't want to play it. Basically, that's the view most people on his base have. They don't even give it a chance. So on this base, the general consensus is, if it's free, it's good, but they don't even want to play it from or about another country because, you know, of course, they're in the army. They're drilling these guys, America's great, America's great, America's great. So,
well, dude, I have to say, I'd have a hard time playing a game put out by the China Communist Party.
If it was developed in Sweden or Russia or something, though, I mean, and it doesn't have any political backing at all, it sounds like these guys aren't even going to give it a chance. I don't agree with that.
But it's backed by a backed
I understand
by
what you're saying.
Government.
No, I understand what you're saying, but even if it's not backed by those governments, unless I'm mistaken, let me know if I'm wrong, but they don't even care about any of these other countries putting out games because it's kind of like, you know, buy American.
Yeah, if it was put out by a neutral party, then, yeah, I really don't care. But to play the communist game put out by the communist people, that one I would probably not really be too... I wouldn't be lining up to go download that one.
Okay, we've talked about this enough. Move on.
Next week's poll. Have technology companies gotten too much power? Yes or no? We spoke a little bit before about the Lexmark case. The EULAs are getting more and more restrictive on the freedoms you are allowed to have when you purchase that product. That product's yours, but they're saying you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't reverse engineer it. I mean, some of this stuff I understand, but selling items because it's their property. We also talked a little bit about Sony and Microsoft. They're increasing prices of these technologies, and they're lowering actually what's going to be in them. You know, have these places gotten just too much power? Yes or no? Post it on our forums. I'll have a poll up by the time this podcast goes out, and I will read some of the comments next week on the podcast.
Next topic.
Mailbag time. Hi, Chris. Sorry to bother you again. I wanted to make a point about Nintendo. Don't you guys think that Nintendo is showing what they'll be specializing in for the next 10 years or so with all the handhelds? There's been little to no news about the...
handhelds. Okay, yeah, right. Mario has been what they've been specializing in for the previous 10 years and the 10 years prior to that.
Ever since they were playing card company back in the 1800s. Those are your little bits of trivia. Nintendo actually started as a playing card company back in, I believe, the late 1800s. There's been little to no news about the next-gen Nintendo console, which makes me think that if it stinks, it will be the end of Nintendo as a home console manufacturer. I agree 110%. This one, by the way, is from Marius P. I believe he is our South African listener. Yeah, that's exactly right. There hasn't been any news on the Nintendo console. I think they're keeping it quiet for a reason, the reason being that they don't really have anything to show yet. There was a couple reports this past week about the Game Boy Micro that the Associated Press called it a big, huge missed opportunity, and that they wouldn't play it because its screen is too tiny, it's hard to see. Yes, it's more portable, but who cares?
Gets to a point where you really can't make things much smaller and they become unusable. It's like when cell phones start getting mini and mini and mini and you have those little tiny micro things. It's like, yeah, this is cool. It's really tiny and I can't get it to my mouth and ear at the same time.
Don't worry, though. When the next console does, in fact, fail, they'll be making playing cards again anyway. So I got another email here. I'm going to skim it over. It was from one of the parents, Chris, Nate, and Parker. It was a parent and his two kids. They all listened to the podcast together. I'm not sure how much praise you get on the podcast, but my kids both listen to it and we love it. Thank you guys very much. It's the only one that they download to their PSPs. PSPs is in plural, meaning I guess they both own them.
I'm sorry.
I see they're using their PSPs for good. I'm going to just read off a couple of them. Do an audience Q&A. People submit questions and you guys can answer them. I don't know if I've not made it very clear, but videogameshow@dreamstation.cc, you guys can ask whatever questions you want. If you have audio questions that you want to send me, that's cool too. Let me know before you send the MP3 file or the WAV file or whatever you're sending. I would like to get stuff like that. I want to get, you know, more fans involved asking questions and submitting comments and stuff. Granted, they can't be a big, long 10-minute rant.
Yeah, that's our job.
Yeah.
He also wanted more debate. The reason there's not as many debates on here is just, quite frankly, because of time.
We all agree with each other.
Right. The other thing...
Nintendo sucks! Yeah! Maybe we'll have a couple segments where, like, we'll force one of us to take the other side, just as, like, a matter of competition. Like, prove it wrong. Like, prove that the DS is awesome.
We just saw it. Dom, you have to defend the PSP this week.
Yeah. The thing is that we all really have one thing in common. We're getting screwed by Sony and Microsoft and all those companies.
We're all banding together to fight the big evil. There's no debates because we're all on the same side.
Ain't talking about no turkey, no.
Just put my keys on the table. Went to the hairdresser. On their part.
Turkey, no.
He suggested at the beginning of the show read off a trivia question, and at the end of the show answer it, or guess a video game theme song or some sound effects or something. Good idea. I want to do it. Blew my chance this week more than one time. Thanks for pointing that out there, Bob. Because I suck. Do you have a donation PayPal account? Currently, we do not. We're currently not accepting donations. If we change
speak
that...
Speak for yourself. Hey, Paladino 64 on how many...
Okay, I'm not accepting donations. Apparently, Keith is, and Bob and Phil are.
Beer money donations, no. Acceptable app.
Thanks for keeping it kid safe.
We love them little...
So thanks for making it family-friendly. I can't believe I just called Bob family-friendly after that little outburst. This one's from Goober0137. I thought I would email you to say that even though you hate Nintendo, they're the only company that hasn't lied or done something stupid like Microsoft and Sony. We've addressed this before.
Valid.
For any new listeners. We have... valid. We have gotten some new listeners since we last explained it. He says,
really?
Please stop hating Nintendo. We tease the crap
no.
out of Nintendo. I like Nintendo. As I was saying earlier, I own just about every stinking Mario game that they've made, and I keep it. It's probably the best multiplayer console. I wish they would grow up and have some more adult games in addition to the family-friendly games, but... I need a Nintendo for the multiplayer.
They're like the funny fat kid growing up. You mock them constantly, but you really love them.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was me.
Yeah. But we all love him.
And lastly, this one's from Ben A. I was listening to podcast 20 Great Stuff. Love Zardoz reference. I thought I was the only guy who had seen that film. The film taught me one thing. Never let the writer produce and direct his own work. There was also a forum thread that people were kind of saying, well, gee, hey, thanks for making me go look at something that did, in fact, burn my retina out.
Good. No, you were weird.
John Connor.
At least he didn't
in a red gimp suit.
America's Army is good.
It's one of those films you should probably see once. And you should fast forward it because after about 5 minutes it gets old. And I forget, he was reading that review online the other day. Basically, every time you're about ready to shut it off, something even more ridiculous happens that keeps you watching it for another 10 minutes.
Next topic.
Whether you intended to or not, that was the DreamStation.cc video game show. Check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for all the oohs, the news, the reviews, the interviews, etc. You can email us at videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. PodcastAlley.com, Odeo.com, you can subscribe to us. Podcast Alley, you can vote for us. We hope to have you guys back same time next week, assuming you aren't utterly disgusted with the last half hour. All right, well, thank you, gentlemen, and adios.
Favorite treat, punch and belly meat, right on 2 to 4 feet. Right. Super hungry boss, hard with belly sauce, makes a lubricating gauze.